And so sometimes when we are pursuing these ambitions, to me, it's about not feeling bad about prioritizing some of these things when we are leaning in, but doing so consciously. And if you are deprioritizing certain parts of your life, making sure that you're still focused on what truly matters to you in this moment.
What if you could step out of the day-to-day and see your business from a whole new perspective? Welcome to Above the Business, where we empower you to rise above the daily grind and embrace a higher way of business ownership. Get ready to build your business by design.
Welcome to another episode of the Above the Business podcast. My name is Bradley Hamney, your host. On today's episode, we have Kathy Onito. She is an executive and life work coach, speaker, and facilitator, and she just came out with a fantastic new book that I love the title on. It is called Sustainable Ambition, How to Prioritize What Matters to Thrive in Life and Work. If you're like me, and most of you are small business entrepreneurs and business owners, you're ambitious, you're driven, but you've probably also seen the downsides of that, where you've hit burnout. I've had it happen a couple of times. And so this idea of how do we sustain our ambition without completely throttling back or even just reducing our goals? I think you're going to get a ton out of this episode. So if you resonate with being an ambitious, driven entrepreneur, this episode is for you. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Kathy Onito.
Ambition is the first step towards success. It's time to level up your agency. And Coach P Consulting will help you do just that by using the same strategies he used to sell over 700 life insurance policies in 2021 alone. Now, this is not your regular one and done type coaching. You'll get personalized coaching 2 days a week, every week of the month, and you'll get a live look behind the scenes of his team training and an office that's performing at the highest level. There's a reason Coach P Consulting is the fastest growing coaching company for insurance agency owners in the country. Coach P will train your team alongside his own and show you the exact steps they're taking to achieve Chairman Circle, Exotic Travel, and Multi-Line Presence Club and be one of the few agents to be selected to have a third office. So whether your goal is to be at the top of your local market or amongst the best in the country, this training will give you the strategies and the tactics to get there. For just $250 a month, you'll get high-level coaching each week from someone who is already getting it done at that level, and his strategies work, and it's time to put them to work for you. Sign up at coachpconsulting.com and get your first full month for free when you mention the Club Capital Leadership Podcast.
Kathy, welcome to the Above the Business Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Bradley. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. We would love to start with background and origin story. I love hearing people's journeys, how they got to where they are. Take us back wherever you feel is relevant and bring us to present day.
Sure. Well, at this point in my career, hard to believe, I've had over a 25-year business career. So I have both an undergraduate business degree as well as a graduate business degree. And I'll start post-business school, which is I started my career in consumer packaged goods brand marketing. And in that role, really learned to wear a GM hat and bring to business a perspective of both that business P&L lens, but also how do you really think about the consumer and building a business, as well as thinking about brand, thinking about creative, how do you connect with consumers, things of that nature. So within that realm, I ended up working both on the client and agency sides, as well as in both big companies and entrepreneurial environments. So I took my experience at Clorox and ended up joining a natural food startup as part of an incubator. I then went on to an agency role, also worked in an e-commerce company that was a 6-year startup. So again, getting back into that entrepreneurial space. And at this point, I'm in my second act and really have a portfolio career where I'm doing strategy consulting and transformation work. And I'm also the founder of Sustainable Ambition, where I work as a life work strategist and coach, as well as a speaker. And as you know, I am now an author of a book called Sustainable Ambition.
First question, how would you define ambition?
I think about ambition in a couple of different contexts, and I really think about it in many respects as the definition that you would find in a dictionary, which is what do we desire to pursue for our lives and around our work? What is an ambition or a goal that we want to pursue? So that's the kind of like a noun definition, if you will. What do we want to pursue for ourselves? What do we desire, et cetera? I think that ambition can also take on an adjective, right? Operate as an adjective, which is, are we ambitious? And my belief is that I think we need to shift our perspective around thinking about ambition in this characterization from being about a trait to being about a state. And so what I mean by that is oftentimes people describe themselves as, and I think Bradley, even before we got started, you said this about yourself, like I'm somebody who is ambitious. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. The only challenge with that becomes that I believe that, and this is something I've learned over the course of the time working on the book, working with this in the space, that I believe that ambition ebbs and flows over time, that there can be times when we're really engaged, really excited about something that we're pursuing, or that it's a priority for us at this moment in our lives. And then there's other times when it wanes, when we actually need a break. It could be at the end of a big goal that we've achieved, or we're entering into a different life stage, or it's just something that we're moving through that we're not excited about something right now. And I think what helps in looking at ambition through that lens is that oftentimes when it's attached to our identity, what I've experienced is when it starts to wane, it shocks people. It throws them off. It can make them feel bad about themselves. They wonder, oh my gosh, I've lost my ambition, is what most people say. Mm. And oftentimes what I think happens is actually that your ambition has shifted. It's not so much that you've lost it, but perhaps it's shifted to prioritizing something else in your life. Going back to why I think thinking about it as a state as opposed to just a trait is that it can free us a little bit from this term ambition, sometimes being weighty and actually making people struggle through these times when it ends up shifting on them, where there's a lot of angst around that, actually.
This brings up an important distinction then, because I love this. I will forever now think about my ambition as a state, because admittedly, as much as I would have absolutely characterized a character trait, I did this exercise honestly at a men's group. And so, like, it actually came out. Several of the people said you kind of had to characterize someone in a word. Anyway, we were doing this exercise and it came out twice that it was, well, Bradley's ambitious. So, that being said, I have then sometimes wondered, because my ambition has waned before, but I now can say, based on what you just mentioned, my ambition has waned before. But Kathy, what I would have said was, I'm not feeling as motivated, or maybe I'm not even feeling as inspired. I would have never thought that it was a regulation of my ambition. So I'm curious for you to kind of pull the threads of the definitions and the differences between those, because that's what I would have said.
I think that even if you just go back to what you just articulated in terms of that motivation and that inspiration. So if you look at a dictionary definition of ambition, it will say it's a strong desire to do or to achieve something, typically requiring determination and hard work. And so what you're describing too is this, like, having a strong desire to do or to achieve something. So that motivation component of it. And that's one of the things that I really talk about in the book, is this sense of motivation. And I think it's realistic to expect that our motivations can go up and down over time, or we might, around a particular ambition again or goal, start to realize that we're at the top of that growth curve and that we might need to enter a different state where we're like, okay, I'm done with that particular ambition and I'm putting that aside. I'm not motivated or inspired by it anymore. And oftentimes what we need is space or a waning to be able to then figure out, well, what am I curious about next? Well, what do I want to pursue next? What is that next thing that is going to spark me? The one other thing I wanted to come back to, Bradley, because I also don't want this to be mischaracterized in how I'm thinking about ambition. I mean, I put the term in my book title, and it's something that I study, so hopefully people would understand this. But I also want to say, I believe that ambition is good. So when people, oftentimes in our society, especially these days, when people use the term ambitious or describe somebody as being ambitious, it can take on this negative connotation. And yet, I believe that ambition is good. It's just, are we dialing it in to, like, I talk about dialing in to get it just right for you, such that it is sustainable and it doesn't start to take over, in the sense that I kind of talk about it getting into the severe zone or getting into this danger zone where you're starting to lean in perhaps to one particular ambition in a way that it's starting to detract from other areas of your life that matter to you at this point in time. Now, the reason I'm saying at this point in time is that there are times we go after certain ambitions where we are putting a disproportionate focus on those ambitions, and we're making that choice consciously knowing that we're pacing and prioritizing that particular thing at this time. And I'll just give you a brief, I often use sports metaphors in my work because I think they do tend to work. In particular, I've had the great opportunity to be in conversation with some of the women Olympic athletes on the women's rugby team, the one that just recently won the bronze medal at the Olympics. And one of them in particular was really talking about how she choicefully, but also somewhat painfully, put certain aspects of her life aside to really focus on that ambition of being on the USA Olympic team and really performing her best as a professional athlete and going for that ambition. And yet she was painfully making some choices to make that prioritization. And now she's left the team and she's really excited to be entering this next phase of her life where she is focused on new ambitions. And so sometimes when we are pursuing these ambitions, to me, it's about not feeling bad about prioritizing some of these things when we are leaning in, but doing so consciously. And if you are deprioritizing certain parts of your life, making sure that you're still focused on what truly matters to you in this moment.
Did you see Top Gun Maverick?
Yes, of course.
I figure you did, but I did do a podcast. Somebody had not seen it. And I was like, oh, okay, well, never mind. This, I don't think this is the analogy I was using. But the one where Tom Cruise, the scene where he jumps in the plane at the beginning of the movie that they're going to go a certain like Mach 10, and he jumps in the plane and takes it off and they're telling him to come back. And that whole scene where he's going faster and faster, I kind of look at my own life as somebody who would have previously considered a character trait of ambition. And then he pushes it and he keeps pushing it a little bit further and then blows up. I mean, I've hit that blow up stage before, which effectively in the entrepreneurial world would be kind of probably referred to as burnout. And it's super common. And then the other side of it is coming off of that, what I ended up doing is probably going way too far, Kathy. I went too far the other side, almost overcorrected, like, okay, no, now I'm not going to set these lofty things because I just don't want to go back to that. And so that's why I think that the ambition, but the word in front of it, sustainable, I think is important of, well, what does that actually look like? We'll get into some tactical things and a little bit of like, how do we actually implement this into the business? So I want to get there. Let's stay high level for a second. And that kind of throttling between those two situations, I know it's been common specifically in my life, but I'm not using this. I just think I'm more representative of maybe of our listening audience that also has gone through those similar things.
So I've been there with you. You know, like I said, I've worked at a startup. I've been the first employee in an incubator of a startup, like building this business and brand and getting it into the market. And when you're the primary one, like it's very, you're wearing all the hats, right? So I've been there before. And it's one of the reasons why I've worked on this. And I will say it's not easy, but it takes a lot of intentionality and focus around paying attention to how you are managing yourself. And so the three pillars of that I put in the book around sustainable ambition is aligning the right ambitions at the right time with the right effort. And right ambition is about motivating our effort. So do we know why things matter to us? You know, when we get connected to our motivations, it's what drives our energy. And so we get pulled to do things. So if we aren't clear, well, why does this matter to me? How does it connect to the vision I have for my life? How I can contribute, what I value, and what I love to do? Those are the four motivators I talk about in the book. That's an important place to start, to just make sure that you're connected to those elements. The second is around right time, which is around focusing our effort. And a big part of that is about really prioritization and pacing. And within that, it is getting clear on, well, what's really important now? What really matters? And I think importantly in this respect, it's also, even if you're building a business, what's important in my life now too that I really need to prioritize? And where do I really want to be firm on these things and put these things on my calendar first to make sure I'm not ignoring these critical elements of my life, even while I am building a business? And then that pacing comes into the right effort piece. What I talk about with right effort is really about how do you manage your effort, both in terms of utilizing our energy and effort, but also in managing it from a sustaining perspective and building resilience. And so accepting the realities that as humans, we go between two states of using our energy and needing to restore it. And that restoration needs to go beyond just sleep. So I talk about, are we being really intentional both around like, what requires my hard work? What really do I need to do to perfection as opposed to just getting the 80-20 or doing the good enough, being discerning about that. But then also being really discerning about how am I sustaining myself? And I talk about in the book, really creating a sustaining plan and also creating a minimum viable sustaining plan. Because the reality is you are going to have intense weeks or time periods. Mm-hmm. And then how are you making sure you're sustaining yourself? So I'm just coming off of a really intense book launch period. It probably was the most intense period of bringing a book out into the world. And I am in a state right now of honestly downshifting and purposely adjusting how I'm operating. So because we can go hard for a period of time, but the reality is those periods of time aren't sustainable. So it's okay to go through intense time periods, but are you within those time periods being thoughtful about when am I taking my breaks? When am I adding times that are filling me back up? What are those minimal viable things that I need to do for myself to keep me operating at my best? And then how am I looking over a longer time horizon as well to build in times of recovery? Because there's actually research that shows there's a paradox around this, which is we tend not to take due recovery activities when we actually need them most. And so we do need to be really paying attention to our own operating system, using your term, right? Like that operating system, even of ourselves and how we're operating and kind of checking in to see how am I doing? And that's something that I advocate. It's really easy to let life take us, right? I mean, that happens to all of us. So we need systems, I believe, to kind of help us check ourselves and make sure we're building that resilience into our practices.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Are you struggling to turn clicks into clients and grow your business with confidence? Well, DirectClicks has helped over 1,000 businesses increase their lead volume by an average of 300%. Built by business owners for business owners, DirectClicks specializes in custom marketing solutions that deliver real results. From paid search campaigns and performance max to SEO and social media management, they provide the comprehensive digital marketing your business needs to grow. Here's an exclusive offer for our listeners to the Above the Business podcast. If you visit directclicksinc.com/above the business, you'll get a free marketing campaign audit. They'll assess your website, social media, SEO, content, and paid advertising. Then they'll provide actionable recommendations. Plus, when you choose to partner with them, they'll waive all your setup fees. Don't miss this opportunity to grow your business with proven marketing strategies with DirectClicks. DirectClicksinc.com/above the business.
Are you an agency owner looking to grow your revenue, increase your bottom line, and better manage your taxes? Club Capital is here to help. Club Capital is the largest accounting and advisory firm for insurance agents in the country, providing monthly accounting, tax strategy, and CFO services. Way more than bookkeeping and your everyday run-of-the-mill tax prep, Club Capital is focused on providing financial and tax advisory services that help you plan and forecast your agency's performance. Their financial dashboards and agency forecasting tools help you better understand your agency's historical performance, create and measure future targets, and see how your agency compares to your peers around the country. Imagine what it would be like to understand the impact to your bottom line when deciding to hire a new employee, or forecast the impact rate changes or commission rates will have on your business. With over $200 million in tracked annual revenue and $140 million in tracked annual expenses, Club Capital has the data and the team to help you make better informed decisions for your agency. They will help you turn that back office stress into the backbone of your agency's success by giving you the tools to take your agency and your leadership to the next level. Visit club.capital today to book a solution overview with one of our business consultants. Club Capital, way more than a CPA firm.
So I think it's important you shared something there that sustainable ambition doesn't necessarily mean that it's a flat line. Like you get it to 55, set the cruise and go. Actually, that's not real life. That there's a periods of time that you come out of a season my kids have loved it, and quite frankly, I've loved it too. The Ryan Trahan 50 States in 50 Days on YouTube, big YouTube thing that's going on. And today was the last video. The kids were super excited to watch this video. It was the 50th state day. That series has raised $11 million for St. Jude. It has 150 million views, something like that, on YouTube, and has actually been really great. Well, up doing a daily upload 50 days in a row in one passing comment, he said, "You guys probably won't hear from me for a while." To your point, I mean, that was long. He's going to probably take some time off, and rightfully so, from traveling that long consecutively and doing all of those type of things. And so I think that whatever that example is for you, it was a book launch. For him, it was the YouTube. For somebody else, it might be a Brent that's coming up because if we want to achieve these things during this quarter or whatever is a big quarter coming up for us. I know that there's a couple clients that I have based on their businesses. The businesses are seasonal. Maybe they're a pool business potentially. And so there's obviously the building time. And then maybe in November, December, January, people are not thinking about pools nearly as much. And so that's kind of a rest time. Or if somebody else is a landscape company and they cut yards during the summer, that's a busy time for them. But in the wintertime, they're doing maybe some other things, but it's not as busy. And so I think that's a natural kind of ebb and flow that necessarily happens. But my question is then how do we regulate, may not be the right word, Kathy, but how do we then ensure that the period of time you just went through with your book launch also does not, even in that intense period of time, get to a point to where that even does go too far?
Yeah. One thing I'll just say to build on your first point, which is I say in the book and I often tell people, like, yes, I'm the sustainable ambition lady, but that doesn't mean that I don't believe in hard work. I actually really believe it. And part of the reason I do this is because I'm a hard worker myself. And so I need to manage myself through this. So to your point, like, how do we do it? It takes, like I said, a lot of intentionality. And I think it means being thoughtful about how are you both managing your effort, but also how are you being thoughtful about certain sustaining activities? And so, like I said, I have this idea of a sustaining plan and also a minimum viable sustaining plan. And I guide people to define that for themselves because my plan and what would help restore, protect, and support my energy is going to be different than what would support you, Bradley, right? Mm. So figuring out for yourself what's important to help you operate at your best. Like I had a coaching client who said to me one time, well, I know I should go to yoga. And I'm like, do you like yoga? And she's like, no, I hate it. I'm like, then why should you go to yoga, right? So you need to find things that are going to work for you. But I think that part of it is also recognizing that this doesn't have to be a huge lift. There are a couple of things that can really help. One is pacing yourself, being really clear at looking at your schedule and how you're managing your time. And are you making sure, because oftentimes we don't do this. Like I've done this to myself where all of a sudden I'll look back, step back, look at my calendar and be like, oh my gosh, I've totally overloaded myself. I need to delete a few things or I'm now blocking my calendar in 2 weeks so that I have time for certain activities or that I can take a break. Or I'm being really intentional about when am I taking these downtimes? And these downtimes, first off, small breaks really pack a punch. Even just taking 5 minutes to step away from an activity, move your body, get outside, let your mind wander. Even just 5 minutes of that, 5 minutes of deep breathing, you don't have to do 5 minutes of deep breathing, 1 minute of deep breathing. Those types of things can really build your resilience over time, and they don't have to take a lot of time. Oftentimes, we even have these small moments of time. I say use the time you do have, because oftentimes what happens during a day is you're like, oh my gosh, I only have 5 minutes. I can't get anything done during that time. Well, guess what? You could go walk around the block in 5 minutes. You could get up and stretch in 5 minutes. You could do 10 push-ups in 5 minutes. You know, you can do more than that. But do you know what I mean? There are small things that we can do. And so to me, it takes, as I said, I'm being a little repetitive, but being intentional about how are you putting in those breaks? Where are you putting in time for pacing? Some of these things that can help as well is getting really clear on what is really important on your life side and putting those things on your calendar first. And when you're doing those activities, being really present for them. putting the technology away, our technology, gosh, the data around technology and how it impacts our ability to take vacation, our ability to disconnect and be present with others, our ability to get that psychological distance from work, which is a really critical component. So I think for business owners, that element as well, this ability to disconnect from our technology for some period of time, I think could be a really critical component to help people as well. We really do need that psychological disconnection from work. Having a team you trust or individuals who you can trust where you feel as a leader that you can disconnect from your business and disconnect from your technology, I think could be a really critical strategy and a place to focus as well to help in that sustaining.
Yeah, I mean, we could do a whole another 45-minute podcast about technology and the ability to focus and disconnect. But last question that I want to ask, and then I want people to know how to connect with you. One of the things that's kind of in the back of my mind is you go through YouTube, listen to a podcast. You'll almost sometimes come away with conflicting messages of, I need to think bigger. I'm not thinking big enough. That's what it is. I need to think bigger. I don't need to build a $3 million company. I need to build a $30 million company. That's what I need to do. No, I need to prioritize my health, my family, or people feel torn between two options, this big ambition. And then inside of them, I'm a driven, relentless, ambitious entrepreneur. I want more. I want to make more money, period. I mean, I feel like even sometimes that's taboo to talk about. Like, just say it. I just want to make more money. I want to stay in that neighborhood, not this neighborhood. I want to drive that car. I want to send my kids to this private school. I want a second house. I want a nicer boat, whatever it is. It's okay. And then they all end up becoming like these circles that I can't ever get to really effectively overlap. And then it seems fleeting the moments that I feel like I can thread the needle. How do you feel that we go about, yeah, he's a big, or she is a big, ambitious thinker, but they don't push to the level of burnout. But at the same time, they recognize their own limitations and their own capacity to do and where the business is. There's a realism that's being kind of checked and throttling to some of that stuff. So what are your thoughts on that?
So my brain's going in a couple of different places. One is one of the things I really love to work with and love to think about is this idea of polarities and paradoxes, and meaning that these things don't have to be opposing. It's actually, how do we hold both of these to be true? And that is inherent in what I'm saying in sustainable ambition as well. Like, I want people to be ambitious and think big and go after what they want. I don't want to be judgmental about what people want. Who am I to say what people should go for and want for their lives? I just hope for them that they do go after those things and pursue them in a way that is sustainable for them, that keeps them operating at their best. I don't think these have to be diametrically opposed. I agree with you. I think it's great. Like, just claim it and own it if that's what you want for yourself. And what I would encourage is just make, personally, this is where I orient from, is make sure that it's something you want as opposed to you're being driven by external forces. Yeah. Yeah. And that it really is internally motivating for you and matters to you, and get that connection. The other piece with the big thing that I think is, at least in the ways that I've seen it used, is it's not necessarily a bad thing in terms of, sometimes I think it's like that orientation, like think bigger, is to get you to think differently about the approach and the paradigm or the methodology or the business model you're going to use or the approach you're going to use to achieve that goal. So sometimes it's a tool or an exercise to break through. So again, I say that just to mean these don't have to be diametrically opposed. And I would also just say then, in terms of supporting you so you don't burn out, again, I think there are small actions that can go a long way. Even just being like, you know what? I'll just say this. Even if it is, I do not work on Sundays. Giving yourself one day where you do not work on your business and where you just say, this is for me to focus on what's important in my life and on myself, that likely alone would change things for you and be sufficient potentially to sustain you.
I totally agree with that. I just do it on Saturdays. And I don't even know if this would be considered working. I like the idea of planning on Sunday night because my mind starts going to Sunday night. But I totally agree with you. I kind of look at it as almost a day and a half, like Saturday morning. And the best accountability partners I've ever have are 14 and 11, my two kids.
Love it.
They know that it's free day Saturday. And, you know, it's funny about that too, Kathy, is one of the examples I shared with somebody is like, for people watching on YouTube or just listening to this, I'm holding up my AirPods. Like, these never go in my ear on a Saturday, unless maybe I'm at the gym or something like that. But like, I used to be, these were in my ear listening to a podcast or something like that. And so now, nope, I'm not going to do that. That's my line in the sand, so to speak. Kathy, congratulations on the launch of your book. I think it's going to be obviously fantastic. I can't wait to personally pick up a copy. People want to connect with you, find out about the book. Where should they go?
They can go to sustainableambition.com and find me there. And they can also find me on LinkedIn.
Oh, that's great. Some of the big key takeaways for me, I mean, one of the biggest ones is seeing ambition as a state, not a trait. I mean, that probably is my overall biggest takeaway that I'll have for today. Also loved at the very end, you mentioned these things aren't necessarily diametrically opposed, like multiple things, two or more things can be actually true at the same time. And then number three, I would just say whenever you mention around the word pacing, I thought that was right. What's the pace car actually need to be in setting of that pace? Kathy, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Bradley. It's been a pleasure.
Well, I really loved that podcast with Kathy. Go and check out her book, sustainableambition.com, and go link with her on LinkedIn. Want to give a big shout out to our podcast sponsors for making the Above the Business podcast and the events and the newsletter all work together. I want to give a shout out to DirectClicks, Club Capital, Coach P Consulting, and Autopilot Recruiting. Look, if you want to be able to take the ambition that you have in your business, but also make sure that your financials are going to support that. How do we balance the profitability and the growth necessary with your ambition? Club Capital can help you to do just that. Go to club.capital. The world of digital marketing for small businesses is absolutely changing. It's important that you are able to work with a partner that understands that, is able to stay on top of the wave of changes, the changes that have happened in 2024, in 2025, and are going to continue to come about. Are they going to be able to pivot and make adjustments into your marketing strategy, to implement a plan, to know your marketing numbers, to help you with your marketing numbers so that you can implement a comprehensive marketing strategy? DirectClicks can do just that. Go to directclicksinc.com, directclicksinc.com. Whenever you look at your financials, often the two biggest expenses is going to be your people and obviously your marketing and your profitability, the top three usually. And when it comes to your people, making the decision to go about recruiting, and honestly, always be recruiting. People have said that for so long that I've been in business, but how do you actually execute on that? I get it. That makes sense. But how do I actually do it? Think working with an outside vendor like Autopilot Recruiting can help you to be able to make sure that you're executing a marketing strategy for your team, executing a marketing strategy for your team, not just on your marketing leads, but it's very similar. You have a pipeline for your prospects that become customers. You have a pipeline for your candidates that become team members. And Autopilot Recruiting can help you to be able to manage that and put a handful of potential A-player candidates in front of you on a regular basis. Autopilotrecruiting.com. One of the biggest investments, best investments actually I've ever made, is in the development of myself, putting myself around other people that both think bigger, execute well, all of those type of things. Community matters. If you're an insurance agency owner, you're going to want to make sure you go to coachpconsulting.com. CoachPConsulting.com. You're going to be around other small business owners trying to do the exact same thing, and you're going to learn from the behind the scenes of exactly what is working in David's office right now. CoachPConsulting.com. All right, everyone. That was a great episode. Till next time, lead well and go be great.